This one has me fired up. Joe Evans joins the show. Iowa boy, walk-on, captain of the Iowa Hawkeye football team this past year. You're going to hear a lot from Joe today. We went all the way back to high school. He was a quarterback. How did he become a D lineman? How did he get to Iowa City? What was it like navigating some of the road bumps along his six-year career? What did Matt Campbell say to him in the recruiting process? And a whole lot more. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome to the Washington Walk-Ons podcast. Very excited about tonight's guest and episode. Our first from the most recent Iowa Hawkeyes roster, fresh off of his career at Iowa and probably King Walk-On at this point. I think he's taken over that that title. Joe Evans joins us. Joe, thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
Just a kid from Ames.
Just a kid from good old Ames, Iowa.
Should have been a Cyclone.
Come on now. No, don't say that.
What's the story there? Give me the rundown on that quick.
Oh, shoot. This is a long story.
Okay. Well, we got time, about an hour.
Yeah, absolutely. We got time. So I'll just give the whole recruiting pitch too, which I'm not sure if I've ever went on air with this.
Before you start, this is what I do. I interrupt people. The fans are sitting there like, let Joe talk. God damn it. How early did you start getting recruited at all?
Not really. I mean, I think I got my first official offer. It would have been the winter of my senior year.
Wow. Okay. So go into it.
Yeah. So my first offer was Concordia St. Paul. So always a huge fan of the old Golden Bears.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Always, wish them nothing but the best. But
they were going to give you what, free lunch every other Friday or something?
Yeah. Well, it's funny. So some of these schools, so like Concordia said I could have went and started at quarterback. Iowa Western said I could have played a red zone QB and linebacker, which would have been elite.
That would have been sick. That would have been crazy. So sweet.
And then Upper Iowa, they threw everything at me and wanted me to come in and play quarterback there.
Okay.
They gave me the whole
How tall are you? Actually.
Yeah. I'm people don't believe this. Everyone on the football team thinks I'm 5'10", but I'm a legit on the dot 6'2". At pro day I'll probably get measured at 6'1" and, right around 6'2".
06105 or something like that.
Yeah.
6'2", man. You really are. You know why? It's because you're built like a goddamn house, dude. Not always that way, though. While you continue your recruiting story, I'm gonna pull up a picture of you from high school.
I don't know if we need to do that.
We do.
But so my I lived in Johnston up until my fifth grade year, and then we ended up moving over to Ames. But so my dad played at Iowa for a year. So he played quarterback at Iowa for a year. He walked on and had some injuries, so he had to just kind of walk away from the game. And so I was always in just the biggest Iowa fan ever. My fifth grade year, I'd go to school every day in an Iowa shirt, and
hell yeah,
I'd 30, 40 year olds telling me I got a stain on my shirt. You can't be wearing that here. Yada, 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 whatever.
Did that build the rebellion of oh, I'm different.
I'll show them.
Yeah, I'll show them. You talk about going to bed every night thinking about being an Iowa Hawkeye,
right,
and playing a Jack Trice and just kicking their ass. That was one of my dreams. You know what I'm saying? I'd go to bed thinking about that as a little kid.
Legitimately. You really would.
Oh yeah.
That's awesome.
My dream, my dad's one of my biggest mentors. So
yeah.
I kind of just wanted to be like him.
Sure.
In any facet. So
who is this kid? Oh my God.
Oh, I remember that day. The reporter said, just throw your arm up here. And I was like, I don't know what's going on.
Hey, you're mean mugging though, bro.
I am mean mugging.
Dude, I probably weighed
a buck 90.
If you're lucky, bro.
If I'm lucky.
Man,
was that my junior year or what year was that?
This says Joe Evans. Yeah, I'm not sure. But
what's the date on the article?
The junior completed 106 of 100 last season. It was written in August. Yeah, so it was going into your junior year.
Going into my junior year.
Yep.
Yeah, I a buck 90.
And you were a quarterback.
So I played O-line, D-line through my whole career. And then my freshman year, I got moved to quarterback and linebacker. My freshman coach said, we're just going to play you a quarterback. So.
Had you ever thrown the ball?
No, never.
You guys hurting that bad over at Ames?
I think he was just putting the best athlete out there and saying, like,
which is a good strategy.
Great strategy in high school football.
Yeah.
I don't know why more teams don't do it, but
true.
So I did that. And then my sophomore year got moved up to varsity to play linebacker. And then starting quarterback goes down first game off of the injury was so he tore his ACL, but he threw a touchdown. And then went and jumped up and celebrated and landed wrong.
Mm.
So that's why I'll never, ever like jump up with somebody.
Mm.
That's just scarred in my head. But he was a tremendous quarterback. Then we had our second string guy. He played receiver. He went to play quarterback. Then he goes down. So we're actually playing Iowa City High in the little Cy-Hawk trophy game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just a great little high school trophy. It's sweet. I'm not gonna lie.
That's probably one of the better rivalries.
Yeah, I'm really glad they started that my eighth grade year, freshman year, and they made a trophy. Super cool. They wanted to play actually at like in the Jack Trice or at Kinnick, but they couldn't figure it out some logistically.
They eventually figured that out for somebody because I think the Iowa City teams played each other.
Yep, Liberty played City High.
Yeah.
Over at Kinnick.
Yeah.
But anyway, so then I'm sitting there in like linebacker pads, right?
Mm.
And they're like, yeah, you're playing quarterback tonight. Second quarter. I didn't know an offensive play.
I was just going to say, did you know the playbook at all?
I had no idea.
And they just said, we're giving the ball to Joe, baby.
We're giving the ball to Joe. Let's get after it. First play, I throw like a screen pass. And just, I mean, I don't remember. I think I just launched it over his head. I haven't thrown a ball.
How dumb did you feel?
Freshman year. Huh?
How dumb did you feel?
Oh.
Just like they put you up on stage naked or something. Like, I don't – like, what am I doing here? Everybody in the – I can picture it now because I played at Ames twice maybe, and I was there more for ball boy.
Good old Marshalltown.
Oh, yeah. Good rival.
You played against my brother.
Really?
So, Teddy Evans. Teddy's my brother. He played defensive end at Ames.
Oh.
But you guys had a really – you was that with Gimble?
Oh, yeah.
You guys are – State went to the state title game?
Our freshman year we did.
Your freshman year?
So we weren't a huge part of that. But yeah, and then we were okay my junior, senior year.
Yeah.
Second round of the playoffs, Southeast Polk took us out both years.
Mm.
I think there was some performance enhancement going on.
Some good old farm boys.
Yeah.
There could have been a little.
There might have been. There could have been some.
Don't want to say anything, but.
There was talk of extracurriculars around the conference. But Marshalltown Ames, pretty good old time rivalry as well, both basketball and I mean, I don't know where they're at anymore, but used to be when I was when I was coming up.
I never lost to the Bobcats.
I never lost to the Ames Little Cyclones.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
We God, who was playing quarterback when I played, you guys? Kid was pretty athletic. I can't remember. But, you know, two similar towns that were.
Yeah. Very similar.
I think, I don't know if people know this. Fun fact. Marshalltown had the choice between the Iowa Veterans Home or Iowa State University. And they chose the Iowa Veterans Home.
Wow.
So Ames got Iowa State. Now, this is the rumor. This is what I heard growing up. This is like Marshalltown lore. That could be completely false. We have a lot of like elder listeners up in their 40s, 50s, 60s. Someone's going to come in and be like, that's actually not right, Tyler. Like, that's completely false. Yeah. Ames was always going to be the location. But like Ames and Marshalltown always similarly matched, kind of along with Fort Dodge, Mason City, bunch of misfits, kind of. And there was some good competition there. You played against my brother. We have the connection here is actually crazy because my brother was quarterback for Marshalltown when you guys played him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Didn't have a lot going for him other than him and one other guy.
No. Yeah. They were pretty bad.
Yeah.
When we played. And they actually had a really good basketball player, Luke Apple.
Oh, yeah. Went to SDSU.
SDSU. Really liked that kid. We'd have some battles.
Luke's great. Luke's actually my youngest. So we played against my middle brother and my youngest brother who Zach.
Zach was on the team.
Yeah. I forget about that you've been at Iowa for 6 years. So, you know, Zach, he went to Centennial. So you probably played against him too. I don't know if you ever played Centennial.
No, I played against Zach. They kicked our ass.
Younger brother's Centennial team had a lot more talent than middle brother's Marshalltown team.
Yes.
We'll leave it at that.
They
throw it – enough about me. They throw you in at quarterback. It's sophomore year. You throw a screen pass. It looks like you threw it with your opposite hand. And where
it was terrible. And so I got lucky enough. So we had an all-state receiver. Mm. And
– that helps.
It definitely helped. So he had these, like, white gloves, right? And I didn't know probably for, like, two weeks – I probably knew like 10, 15 plays.
Right.
10 plays maybe. So I would drop back, and if he ever threw his hand up, the ball was coming. I was
watching it.
I ended up actually having a decent year. I think I threw like 17 touchdowns or something.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And I mean, probably 15 of them were to him. He was a stud.
Love it.
So we played Iowa City High. We ended up losing. I didn't really know what I was doing. I just kind of ran around there. And then we ended up going to Marshalltown.
Cakewalk, little bye week.
They thought they had us. It was a rainy day. For me, it's the weirdest thing. I love rainy, just shitty grass fields.
Well, Marshalltown is right for you then, buddy.
Marshalltown's perfect for me.
Yeah.
And so Marshalltown and like when we would play at Northwestern.
Oh, yeah.
I knew like
just
in my
the
head,
worst
just,
field
it's
on
the
earth.
Psyche. Like I'm thinking to myself, I'm going to have just a career game.
I've never heard anybody say that, but.
Oh, I love playing there. I know that's just a weird thing in my head that I'm thinking like, all right, well.
Leonard Colefield at Marshalltown and Ryan Field in Evanston are very similar.
Yeah. Yes, very, very similar. Yeah, it's right about here.
Similar fan attendance too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Is that a compliment to Marshalltown or a diss to Northwestern?
It's both.
Okay. We'll say both.
Yeah. So you play quarterback, junior year, you go through junior year, mm-hmm. and at any point. Are you like, was there a dream? Was like a legitimate dream? You get into high school, you start to realize where you actually stand talent wise, right? Like you talk about fifth grade dreaming of playing for the Hawks and going to beat Iowa State in Jack Trice. But at that point, every fifth grade boy who plays a sport thinks they're going pro in that sport.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
At what point do you realize, is it somewhere around that time, freshman, sophomore time, where you're like, I might be able to slip into a Division I football team. Like I might have a shot at playing.
Yeah.
Was it about that time?
It was about that time. Definitely like my sophomore year. I was like all in on going to go play college football. I wasn't going to have anybody tell me you're not going to go do that.
And so did you want to play line? Like was I had to imagine you in your head, you're like, I'm a linebacker, D lineman kind of guy.
So my sophomore year, complete thought linebacker. Then I actually started getting some letters, like nothing crazy, but
small interest. Yeah.
Small interest for quarterback. And then like, well, maybe I'll play quarterback. That lasted for like a month. And then I'm playing defense. I don't want to play this. So, then junior year happened. And then senior year, no one has ever done it at Ames, but I was started at quarterback and then I started at linebacker.
Oh, so you're Joel Lanning.
Yeah, without the state title.
Right. You know that. Yeah, the year he won that, who'd they kick the year off with? Marshalltown at home, baby.
Marshalltown at home.
They just ran us up and down, up and down their field. Wow. So you played both ways.
Yep.
And just dominated.
I had
as much as you could.
As much as I could. You know, obviously love the boys at Ames, the guys I played with, but sure. Just, you know, when you go against Dowling, Ankeny Centennial,
it's tough.
There's really not much you can do.
You hang on for about a quarter if you're playing well.
Yeah.
And then it's just,
here we go. Especially like Centennial, you know, they're running the triple option, the wing T. You have your assignment. This is a funny story. So my senior year, they scored on a jet sweep 2 years in a row. And me and my dad would talk, and he's like, just whatever you do, tackle the jet sweep guy. That's not my assignment. I had the fullback dive.
Uh-huh.
I tackle the fullback dive. I look up jet sweep guy, 80-yard tutty.
Dude, you're so much better, and we're always so much better at football than me. But the you played middle linebacker, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the parallels in our path is uncanny. Like your dad played football for a very short time at Iowa. You're like a middle linebacker, you know, walk on, like all these things, dude. I played middle linebacker, and the first play of that game against Lanning in their state title run year, they run a 12 fake jet sweep option outside. I tackle the guy up the middle, and our sophomore linebacker is just running for his life.
Yep.
Trying to catch the sweep on an 80 yard touchdown. First play of the damn game, dude. I'm telling you, Joe, we're the same person. You just have more hair and way more football talent. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hey guys. Sorry I'm late.
No, you're good.
What's up, Kevin?
This is Joe Evans.
How are you doing, Joe?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely.
What have we gotten into so far?
Pretty much just talked about Marshalltown and Ames.
Yep.
Sounds like a pretty shitty podcast. So
yeah, we need to pick this thing up 18 minutes in. We're right to the point where Joe's starting to get a little bit of recruitment as a junior senior.
Yeah. How are we in Iowa City and didn't end up in Ames?
Well, we went over that already.
We're getting there. So let me speed this up a little bit. So senior year happens. I also was like pretty good at basketball, pretty decent, and just couldn't gain any weight while I was in basketball season. So, I mean, I'm not kidding. After my senior year, after basketball season, 195 tops.
Sheesh.
So when I'm getting recruited, not the best look. It's like, okay, where's this guy going to play?
Yeah.
So got recruited by, D2s. I thought about going to Iowa Western, and then about that time, I get a text from my coach. We don't have school. He's like, "Hey, like, what are you doing?" And I'm like, "I'm not nothing." And he's like, "Hey, by the way, like, Coach Wallace is in here from Iowa, and if you can make it in, that'd be awesome."
If you can make it in,
yeah.
How quick was your ass out of your seat?
Oh, I know. I remember exactly where I was. I was right by, we have like this aquatic center. I remember driving And I'm like, yeah, I'll be there in 30 seconds. So, I mean, I'm flying over there. Probably not the smartest idea. It's probably a snowstorm or whatever. And I just remember sitting there with Wallace. I think Coach Morgan may have been there too. I know he came at a different time and talked to me. But Wallace was just – what I loved about Wallace, he was just straight up with me. And where he thought I could play, and this is how it's going to be. We want you as a walk-on. Now, did I know I wasn't going to go in as a – I guess I'm technically just a walk-on because I didn't go in the summer. I don't – like, I'm a school start. I didn't
Same.
Even get
– Same,
yeah.
brother.
Yeah. So I thought I was going to go in the summer with everyone else, which kind of sucked. But – he was straight up with me, and I love that. And I was already just a diehard Iowa fan, so anything he was saying just was music to my ears.
So you didn't go to camp your first year in, huh?
No, I didn't. Mm-mm.
Oh,
damn!
So not so. I went to camp.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Didn't even get the invite to camp,
bro.
You know, I would say that that's you know, it's not the worst thing in the world.
You're right.
Missing your freshman camp's not the worst thing in the world, but that is that does make your career trajectory even that much more impressive.
Yeah, I mean, going through five camps, I don't know if I needed a sixth one. But so he came in and talked to me. This is where it gets interesting. Then I'm sitting in German class, and I get a text from my head coach, and hey, Coach Campbell's in here. I was like, oh, all right, sweet.
Of course he is.
Yeah. So I get up and I go to my like in the middle of class. I don't know. I'm not just going to get up and walk out. So I like kind of go over to him. Hey, Coach Campbell's in here. And my teacher was a huge Iowa State fan. He's like, get out here and don't come back. You know, like, I don't even want to see you the rest of the day. All right, sweet. So I go down and I'm having this conversation, and this just boils my blood even to this day. But so I'm sitting there, and he's looking at me, you know, preaching, well, if you come here, you know, we would offer you, but we don't have any more scholarships, yada, yada, yada.
I never do.
I'm like, okay, sure. I mean, they offered what, like 500 dudes. I couldn't have been.
Couldn't make it 501. Like, goddamn.
Yeah. I mean, you guys couldn't have helped me out a little bit. And he's like, well, if you come here, you're going to be a part of the 105. You'll be here during the summer. Okay. And at that point, I thought I was going in the summer to Iowa, but it just didn't work out. And then he said, I know your dream has always been to run out in the Cardinal and Gold.
Yeah.
And I sat there and I looked at my coach and I'm like, no way he just said that. So that's always stuck with me.
He put the words in your mouth.
Yeah. And you were
an Iowa fan.
Oh, everyone knew. I probably had to like throw a hoodie on. I was probably wearing something Iowa that day. And yeah, I was just like, what, these guys don't know anything about me.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, whatever. Like kind of just like went over, I went up straight to so my dad was my principal. I went up to his office. I'm like,
that went over your head. Cause it's 7 years later now and you're burning off.
You're right. But at the time, because I was still given, you know, sure, a fair shot. But then I'll get into this other part too. So I go up to my dad. I'm like, Dad, you're not going to believe what Coach Campbell just told me. He's like, what? He's like, my dream's always been around Cardinal Gold. My dad just starts like dying laughing. He's like, your dream's always been around the fucking black and gold and swarm out. And I'm like, you're goddamn right. You know, whatever. So then one other, I forgot who it was, but another coach comes in on the defense.
Iowa State coach.
Another Iowa State coach comes in on the defensive staff. He's talking, I think 2 days later, he's talking to my head coach, and he goes, My mom works in student services. She's right here. And my dad works in his office, probably about 50 feet away from each other. So my whole family was there, which was awesome. Very lucky. And I go in student services and my coach is like, oh, he's actually right here. I just texted him. I'm like, oh, what's up, coach? He's like, yeah. So, what's his family do? Like, what do they do? And my mom is literally like sitting right here. And my coach just like looked at him and was like, well, his mom's right here. His dad's around the corner. And the coach is like, well, you couldn't have gave me a heads up. And he's like, oh yeah, so it's my fault. Like, I was at that point, I'm like, I'm so fed up.
Dude.
I'm literally in your backyard and you didn't know a thing about me.
So it's funny because I get the feeling and it feels like this has happened a lot with the way timing goes in guys' recruitments, whether it be a kid who eventually commits to Iowa or Iowa State. One offers or one comes by the school and says, hey, you know, you're just looking for the creek in the door, right? I know that's how you felt. You're like, any way I can get my foot in the door at Iowa and I'll go make it work.
Yeah.
And then the other one comes crawling in. Like, these schools, they know. They talk to, like, they hear rumors. They know who's offered who or who's been by what school. And it feels like Iowa State did something similar-ish to me as well. They didn't want me. Iowa didn't want me. So it's just funny how, like, sometimes they'll like go and talk to a kid just because they don't want the other school to get them.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
For me, I always told my family this, like, obviously I wanted to be an Iowa Hawkeye for my whole life. But if any Division I program would have offered me a scholarship, I was going.
Yep.
Just so I could help my family out.
100%.
But if the playing field was level for everybody, I was going to be an Iowa Hawkeye. And that's awesome. Yeah.
So you get your foot in the door. You don't, not in the summer door, not in the camp door. You walk in first day of school. What's the trajectory? What are we feeling like? You feel out of place? You feel like maybe you can compete here? What's the mindset like?
Yeah. I try to like hide this from my mom, especially because, you know, dropping her baby boy off at college, and you know, the first 2-3 months, it kind of sucked. It wasn't fun, to be honest, because everyone at that point has their friend group. You know, you went through the whole summer together, you went through camp together, and then I just show up.
You were an outcast, an outsider.
I'm an outcast. People are like, he's not on the football team. Like, like I am. You know,
I promise, dude. I don't
know how to defend myself.
My card works at the facility. Yeah. I'll show you.
I'll literally show you my locker. It's right there. But yeah,
Who is your roommate freshman year?
Oh, he's one of my best friends, Nate Nelson.
Oh yeah.
Oh okay.
Antoine's brother.
Yep. He's one of my best friends. So he actually did make it a lot easier for me, and I really thank him for that. And Nate, John Wagner, he's one of my really close, like one of my best friends. And so me, Nate, John Wagner, and Mitch Riggs, we ran around together. But just that, like being in the facility, not knowing any, like I didn't know anything. We had 3 days of conditioning. You know, you run 60s, 55s. And then they just throw you out to practice, and you have your pads on, and I'm running around. I don't even know where I'm going.
I remember that.
I don't even know where I'm going.
Yeah, it's like the first practice, you're just expected to like know where you're supposed to go, and you're just like, what's going on here?
And it's crazy because this is something I was so bad at. I was so bad at. And if there's any kids listening to this in high school, like little kids that grew up loving Joe Evans and Joe is your hero, and you're like, I want to play. And if you ever get to the next level, dude, just ask questions. Yes. Just ask questions.
You're going to annoy someone, but you're at least not going to look like an idiot.
Because if you don't ask questions and you just assume that you're supposed to be somewhere, man, do you look stupid when you end up inevitably not in the place you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
So you're like chicken with your head cut off. Like, oh my God, where are the D linemen?
I was a linebacker.
You were a linebacker.
I was a linebacker at that point. Yeah. So I go over to Wallace's station and, or Wallace's individual, and Wallace is just chirping me, you know, like he's saying some thing. I won't really get into it, but I love how Wallace coached me. That's one of my favorite coaches of all time. He knew like how to coach me, and he was like hard on me in some ways, and then, you know, would show me love when, you know, I needed it. But he
big
was
big Wallace fans here around the Walk On podcast.
Oh, love that dude. I was so happy
keep
for
your
him.
Pants down.
So I'm doing Indy, and I just remember what he was saying, and it was just like, well, this is it. Like, you know, welcome to college football. I was just going to take, I mean, obviously I'm a walk on, I'm taking everything. Whatever you say to me, I'll just, you know, keep my, you know, head straight and just keep going, keep pushing.
Who are the seniors in the linebacking group at this point, at that first year? Was this 2018?
Hockaday? I
would have been Hockaday. The senior guy in the room.
Who's playing? Who's the starters? And was this 18, Joe?
It was 18. So it was Hockaday, and I think it would have been Neiman.
Yeah.
I think Nick Neiman.
He would have been playing the Leo. Who would have been playing the Will that year?
Gosh, I don't know.
Imani? Was it Imani Jones?
Well, he started out at linebacker.
Was it men's?
It may have been men's.
I thought he was hurt that year.
No, he may have been. Oh, shoot.
So those are the guys in the room. You got
Garbutt. No, not Garbutt. No, it was
Kevin just going back through all the linebackers in the brain. Just
I know exactly who it is. I just can't think of his name right now.
So first Indy, like what?
Jaimin Colbert.
Jaimin.
Got it.
You getting popped? You catching up to speed? How fast do you feel comfortable? How many practices until you're like, okay,
I didn't feel like I belonged until bull prep.
Wow, really?
So I felt like, well, I just got to develop. I'm like, I got to get in the weight room. I got to develop.
I feel like that's a pretty common thing for walk-ons is like you didn't get a scholarship, you know, especially in your case, like you didn't get an invite to camp year one. It's like you're just spending that first few months is like, do I belong here? Like, can I even like make it here? And I think every walk-on has a different kind of time when they feel like they have the ability to do well there. Right.
Yeah.
And I think for me, I got injured my freshman year. So it wasn't even until like the following year, but I think that's a different time for everyone. And yeah, it's hard, especially that freshman year when you're just doing scout team and you don't even know if some of the coaches know your name or anything like that.
Kevin brings up a good point, Joe. In your head, was there how did you view your potential career? Like, did you think this is going to work out for me, I'm playing this thing out? Or was it up in the air in your brain? Obviously looking back now, you're like, oh my God, like it couldn't have gone better.
Well, but I was going to play it out as long as I could. I did know that if I didn't get invited to the summer for my sophomore year, the following year, that I was going to transfer to like Iowa Western.
Sure.
That was my plan. Just like, well, maybe I got to just go do it that way because I had a whole year with them and they still don't think that I'm ready to play at Iowa.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to be upset at all. That was their, you know, way of telling me that they don't think I'm ready. So I was going to go to Iowa Western. So I just, for me, I knew in bull prep, I had a really good practice at linebacker. I didn't know anything.
What do you weigh at this point?
What do I weigh?
At first bull prep?
225, 230.
Okay. So not bad.
So you put on some good weight pretty quick, huh?
Yeah. I had a trainer going into Iowa that was really good. He played at Iowa State. He was able to put some good weight on me. So I went into Iowa. I think I weighed in at like 215, 220.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, so bull prep, I just remember walking off the field and Coach Morgan was like, who's that number 13? Because he was everywhere on the field today in Devo. And I was behind him and he was asking some like the freshman D linemen. So when I heard that, I was in my head was thinking, okay, I can do this. And so then
sometimes that's all it takes. It's just a tiny little bit of encouragement.
Just a tiny little bit of encouragement. So my head, I was going to grind, and then spring ball hit. I was getting reps here and there. The first two practice at like Mike and Will, like with the freshmen. And then I had the Coach Wallace goes up on the board. He writes down the defensive ends we have. He asked who's playing defensive end in spring ball. So we say like, okay, AJ, Chauncey. And then we're like, we had three at that time, John Wagner. And then it was it. We had like no one at the end. Then he looks at us and says, like, what do you think that means? And then Nick goes, probably someone in here is going to have to go play.
So I can see Nick saying that too.
Yeah. Probably someone in here is going to go play. Walsh, you're goddamn right. So at the end of the meeting, he goes, all right, so I need to see Nick, B. Wade, Welch, someone else. And he's like, fuck it. Evans, you stay in your two. And when I heard that, like, I was so pumped up. I was so amped up because I just needed a chance. I just needed a shot. You thought I could play this position. That's all I needed to hear.
Yeah.
So kind of spring ball, just tore it up at defensive end, played.
How was blocks that spring ball?
Huh?
How was blocks that spring ball? Because what are you at this point? 230 maybe?
I don't think we did blocks that spring ball because we didn't have anybody. If I remember correctly, I don't remember doing block. Or I think I was still doing some linebacker. I don't know what the hell I was doing. I just remember not doing blocks until the next year.
Okay.
And then they moved me over to heavy five too because I was only playing crash end.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, crash ends, you got one gap. It's awesome. It makes
it a lot easier. System.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, this defensive end stuff is so sweet. And then they threw me at heavy five. And
when you don't never have to two gap a dude who's 330, it makes it easier.
Like, this is sweet. So just kind of, just killed it there. And then
who was the welcome to the Big Ten moment where you were like,
oh, I got a couple. I'll give my Iowa practice and then I'll do my game. So okay. Iowa practice. Byer, actually my first practice, I didn't know the tempo. I had no idea what was going on. So I'm over there playing. It would have been like a Leo backer, like on the line trying to play someone's defense. And Byer just buries me, just puts me on my ass. And I'm like, dude, I thought this was a walkthrough. And he's like, basically, there's no walkthroughs here. And I'm like, all right, sweet, right? just put me on my ass. And then one time they had me man cover TJ Hawkinson.
Done. Fuck.
Done. I held him. So I was just like, just had his jersey and was just like holding him. And he was trying to run away from me. And he's like, dude, he was laughing. He's like, just don't ever do that again.
Who said that? They said the same story. Who do we have on that was like, dude, don't do that again? I can't remember.
Was it TJ? I think it was.
No, because we haven't had TJ on.
No. But it was TJ who they're holding too.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I'm trying to think of who was it. There was a defender who had the same story. I can't remember. But they had the exact same story.
The worst part about that is
Campbell.
Probably. Yeah.
It probably was. Yeah, it was.
The worst part about that is I knew the route he was running.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They got him on the cards. Yeah.
I couldn't do anything about it.
No.
So So him and then Wirfs,
it's a tough
I
one.
Hit. So when I was playing defensive end, just my second year, I was a rush end or just on pass rush situations. I hit him with a clean move and I hit him and I'm like going around the edge. Mid set, he's talking to me. That's a hell of a move as he resets me. And I got to get out of here.
Did Campbell tell us that too? I feel like that's, am I deja vu right now? I think Tristan did that to multiple people.
Probably.
It's just fucking casual for him.
Dude, he was so casual. He's like, dude,
so
that was
so here's a little secret, Joe. Here's something that'll make you feel a little better. A couple weeks ago, I can't remember if it was Ike or Drake. Tristan told both of them this. He said that the NFL, playing tackle in the NFL, was surprisingly easy.
Yeah, okay. That does make me
mean
feel
thing to say to us mere mortals.
So you just weren't going to win that one, you know?
No, I beat him. I beat him on one rep in my whole career.
Did you dance in his face?
No, I called home right away. Like a little kid. I don't know if I've ever told anyone that.
Dad,
you're not going to believe I just beat Wirfs. And it was literally on, he punched and I just went under his arms. Like, hey, a win's a win.
Clean.
A win is a win.
That's an all-pro tackle right there.
Yeah. But
that's tough to have to go up against him. This is really not great.
No. And then my kind of welcome to, you know, the old Big Ten moment. The first game I get in, so I'm running out against Purdue. I get out there, the whole offensive line or this guard and center look at me and go, they start laughing, go, oh, look, they fucking put the walk on in.
No.
Swear to God.
Dude, that hurts so bad.
Oh, it hurt. It hurt. I didn't even know what to say. I couldn't say anything. I was.
You were. Dude, if it were me, I would have been like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. They threw me out.
I know.
For the fans out there, is they do like player profiles on, like, on your, like, whoever you're going against that week. So, like,
you guys know you.
Those guys on that offensive line actually knew that he was a walk-on. It's not like they were just making fun of him or anything like that.
Yeah. Oh, they put the freaking walk-on in, dude. You suck. And I'm like, oh man. Obviously, if they would have said that like a year I was actually producing, I could have, you know,
you could have come back something. With a little something, but you were like,
come back. I can't say anything. It's my first game.
In your head, you're like, yeah, guy, this could be disastrous. Like, this could be bad.
Yeah, this could be bad. I'm shaking. I feel like I'm in a.
Did you hold your own a little bit?
I actually had a really good game.
Okay, here we go.
Coach Ferentz talked about me in the press conference after.
Love it.
Like, he was, you know, in the backfield. And
I got that once. You want to hear the clip?
Yeah, let's hear it.
Catch the ball.
You know, quite frankly, I was more worried about the throw than the catch. I felt pretty good about Kluver. You know, he's a senior, and everybody wanted to kill Kluver his first year when he was on campus. Now everybody loves him, so he's really growing over 5 years
time. This was a tough
one. That's the only time Coach Ferentz ever talked about me in the post-game press conference.
Hey, we'll take it. You know what I'm saying? At least it was one time.
You're right.
But, dude, no, seriously, getting meaningful playing times a second year as a walk-on is, like, crazy. Really impressive and really rare.
On defense.
Oh, yeah.
On special teams.
No. On one side of the ball or the other is, like, wicked impressive, man.
Crazy.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, I think some of it obviously had to do with a little bit of luck, but every single day I was at the facility, I was just working my ass off. And I know that's what they were seeing, you know, on the field, in the weight room, just how I carried myself. I was never late to anything. I was never on a list.
Don't
my grades were somewhat decent. So
it's good.
Yeah.
You're a guy that's easy to bet on, basically.
Yeah.
Somebody that's like, not going to keep you up at night. He's like, oh, I got to fuck me over if I put him in
absolutely.
The game.
And you know, with Coach Parker, a huge thing is trust.
Right.
Like, can I trust that guy?
Mm-hmm.
Which I do. Coach Parker's my first Coach Parker ass chewing. I think everyone's had that moment. And so we were running a pressure. And in this certain pressure, I have the running back out of the backfield, on a peel.
Mm-hmm.
And the running back does a fake block.
Oh, no.
Throw it right over my head. Touchdown.
Is this a game or is this practice?
This is practice. Thank God.
Oh, thank God.
So he came and found me, and I was just beginning to trust you, you know? And I'm like, God dang it.
But he hit you with the, it's not your fault, Joe. It's my fault for having you.
He probably did, but yeah, I mean, for me, it's like, I love being coached like that. And they knew that.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you coach guys differently, but like, I love that shit. Like, just get after me if I'm doing something stupid. And honestly, it made me a better player, and I never messed up that play ever again.
Ever.
I bet you didn't. Yeah.
And every single time I had that in my head, like, Coach, I'm not going to mess this up for Coach Parker.
Yeah. And I think he knows guys who know, like, when they fucked up and like fucked up big time. It's like,
yeah,
I feel like he gets after them a little bit more, just kind of maybe fire them up a little bit. And he's like, do you know what the fuck peel means? And then you tell me what it means. It's like,
yeah,
well, then why the fuck didn't you peel?
Your face, yeah. Kevin. Joe's probably got PTSD because you've got his face down. That's amazing. So they move you to D-line. Mm-hmm. You catch a little success on D-line. Now your second year. Gosh, this is 2019.
Yeah, we got a lot of years to come.
Bro, how are you this old?
Yeah, dude, I don't know.
Because you redshirted 18. Year. You redshirted 18 and got a COVID year. So that's how.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm like old for my grade too. I'm 24, so I played the whole season at 24.
You're going on 25.
I'm going on 25.
So you're damn near where Tori's at.
Yeah, me, Tori, Nico. I mean, and now we got a bunch of 6 years coming back.
Yeah, I know. It's gonna be exciting.
Oh, I can't wait.
I got a quick question before we get back into it. What's college like at 24? I mean, is it a little bit weird or?
Yes. Okay. It's you realize, not, and I'm not saying the guys in the locker room, but like you realize, like the maturity level.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough. It really is.
Yeah.
Yeah. There. I mean, there's certain things like it is kind of tough. Not.
You're about 3 years away from looking at college age kids and going, God, they look young.
Not only that, it's like, yes, what the fuck are these asshole kids doing?
Yeah.
It comes up real quick, man.
Well, even like I'm sitting there, I'm 24. I'm trying to relate to an 18-year-old.
Yeah.
You know, trying to it's different.
Please tell me that no one ever started doing like TikTok dances in the locker room.
Nico had so many.
Yeah, Nico had some.
And he's 24.
Don't worry.
He's a dancing guy, though.
Yeah.
I see Joe as the kind of guy who walks into the locker room. He's like, all these kids and their tic-tacs.
Just grimacing.
Joe has a cane. He's walking into the training room with a cane to get treatment because his 24-year-old body hurts so bad. Oh.
Oh, you guys can't even. I was in that treatment room every day.
Were you
like in every other day practice, guy.
Every mandatory hot tub before every lift and practice.
Yep. Yep. Mandatory hot tub. I started cold tubbing too, which helped.
You're going to miss those, by the way. I guess we didn't even ask. Are you sending to the NFL here? Are we going to play 10 years in the league?
Well, I hope so.
Okay.
That's the plan.
Okay.
I'm training in Iowa City right now. So I'm training here and then I'll do some speed work in Chicago. But no, that's the plan right now.
Okay, I was going to say you're going to miss the hot and cold tubs, but there's potential.
I'm still I'm still in there around, we work out at 11. So every day at 10, 10:15, I'm in those bad boys.
Oh yeah.
I assume you're done with school, right? So you're just doing working out a couple hours a day.
Working out a couple hours a day. I've been hitting hot yoga.
Welcome to the best 3 months of your life.
You're living the dream, brother.
I'm living the dream.
Hey, when you're 29 and you have a podcast, you're going to be looking back going, God, I just missed those 3 months. It's the best three. So now think about your time right now, and you might not be a Fortnite guy, but to pick your favorite video game ever and then find its peak.
Yeah.
That the peak of Fortnite was our 3 months.
Dude, it's
so we would wake up late, 9 o'clock, go in, hit that pro workout, prep workout, go home, eat lunch, play Fortnite for 9 hours, go to sleep.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm. It's unreal. It's a great time. I still my best friend is Cade McNamara, so we kind of just
We had somebody ask about that. We've got
you guys became best friends real quick, huh?
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have heard the story, but I was not a big fan of him at first. Well,
pretty boy.
Pretty
boy.
Yeah. Dude. I mean, I'm going to just be completely upfront.
Please do.
So we have this, God, what was it? So we meet in the north end zone and we have, what would they call that? I can't even think of the freaking word right now.
Was it the alumni networking event?
Yeah. Or? A little network. Thank you. Yeah. A networking event. And so we're there. And then, so Cade's on his like official visit, him, Eric, all, we're in there and they're getting food. Like that's where they were getting food that night. And I go up and like introduce myself to Eric All, just love the dude. And at that point, I don't know if I'm coming back for 6 years or not. And so I go up and talk to Cade and I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. And he just did not seem interested in anything I had to say. And I think knowing his personality now, I think he wasn't meaning to do that like at all. But in my head, I was like, dude,
it felt like he was brushing you off.
Yeah. I was like, dude, fuck. I'm like, I hate this dude. Honestly. I was like, fuck this dude. And so after that, I go to Coach Braithwaite. Me and Coach Braithwaite is the man. I can talk to him about everything. That's like the guy that if I got some shit going on, I'm going to his office and we're going to have a sit down talk. And so I'm talking to him. I'm like, dude, I don't know if I want to come back. I was like, I'm still thinking about it. I'm like, dude, I don't know if I can play with him. Right. this guy, yada, 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 whatever. And Coach Braithwaite's like, just give it some time. Maybe hang out with him like another couple times, whatever. So I decided to come back. Cade sends me a text when I like made the post and he was like, dude, let's go. And I remember looking at the text. I was like, oh, this like I gotta just fuck this dude, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, dude, whatever. I'm still like pissed at him. And so then we, like a week later or a week or 2 weeks later, we hang out with the boys and Cade's there. And in my head, okay, he's my quarterback. I'm going to do my best to be like boys with him or just, you know, be cordial at least.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see where it goes. And it probably doesn't help that I had the old like 42-3 taste in my mouth still. You know, he beat us and it's just like, all right, whatever. Well, so 2 weeks go, and so we're hanging out and we actually connected on like so many levels. We had a player led meeting, like everything he was saying, like I agreed with and just was able to see where his values were and like where he wanted the team to be. And I'll say like, he is one of the best leaders I've ever been around.
That's awesome.
Like the dude is like, he is the man. He is extremely talented, but like even a better leader. And so those, like, a month goes by and we're doing like everything together. Like, we're fucking getting lunch. Like, we're doing, if you see Cade, you see me, you see Cade. Right. And then Coach Braithwaite pulls me aside. He goes, so, you and Cade are boys now, huh? Like, yeah, we're kind of just do everything together. So then we ended up getting a little townhouse together and just been kicking it ever since.
It's a love story.
Love story, huh?
Little bromance going.
Crazy.
Little bromance.
He took you out to California.
Yeah, as a strength coach.
You were the strength coach.
Head strength coach.
Wow, head what a title. Coach. Love that.
What a title. Got the boys going. It was actually sweet because, I mean, another thing he did, I mean, he paid for, like, the Airbnbs and took the receivers out, tight ends. Dude, the dude's a phenomenal dude. I'm really excited to see what he's going to do this year.
And NIL money must be nice, huh? I guess
that's another thing we can get into, man, because you've been in football pre and post NIL. How has it changed the sport, in your opinion?
I'm a little worried, to be honest.
Elaborate.
What I'm worried about is, like, these bigger schools, obviously, are just going to be able to recruit 10 times better because they have more money.
Sure.
I'm all for the power to the college athlete. And I do think that college athletes do need to be paid because they're making a ton of money. I mean, everyone's paying to go watch, you know, us play. But I am a little worried just about the whole recruiting aspect.
No, that's fair. Did it change the makeup of the locker room at all, in your opinion? Or did, like,
guys at Iowa are really good about, no one like says how much money they're making.
Okay.
And it's always been, that's why, I mean, you've been in the, everyone here has been in the Iowa locker room, but like, you guys know how, like, team first and how KF leads a team. And that's how it's been.
Whoa there, Joe. Hey, whoa there. You're going to start telling some fans some things that I've tried to tell them. And then he's like,
oh my gosh.
Dude. But we don't know about the coaching staff. Worried about KF. And he still have his fastball. And I tried to tell him, be careful what you wish for. Careful what you wish for with KF. Cause he knows how
if KF literally looked at a goddamn brick wall and said, run through it. I'm trying a million times. Like, I would do anything for that guy. And,
but that's important, right? That's important because there could be locker rooms across the country where you've got a brand new head coach or the culture isn't established and the NIL factor could leak in. You could have
a bunch of guys that got brought there for money, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think the guys in the locker room do a great job, especially so, like, we got transfers in and the guys that were already there did a great job of, you know, getting the boys. Like, we had a player led meeting. Just everyone knows what the goal is and no one ever talks about, like, NIL or how much money you're making. All we want to do is win games. Like, that is our only goal, is to win football games. And how are we going to do that? Like, who gives a fuck about how much money someone's making?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when your boy is flying out everyone to the fucking Cali and having a good ass time. Right.
Yeah, I know. Like, if you're spent, like, he chose to spend like his, you know, his money that way, which is phenomenal. Like, and there's a lot of guys who do that.
Yeah. No, that's
like, we would have like Hawkeye Championship and now you're able to, you know, have guys over, have grill outs, you know, go take them to, me and Coop took all the boys to like a playoff high school game. It was fun, like a basketball game.
Yeah.
And like we were able to afford that because of the swarm and money that we were getting.
Yeah.
The guys are using it in like valuable ways. And obviously it's just, I could see though on like some teams where some of the players could get money hungry, but that's not the case at Iowa at all.
That's awesome to know.
Yeah.
The We've got some rapid fire on the end here that I've got from our listeners, but I still want to dig in a little bit more here.
I got nowhere to be. I know you guys might, but
I've got a here. Here's what you're looking forward to, and
I don't know if I can see that.
That's baby girl.
Oh, wow. How about that, huh?
Yeah, huh? So just, you know, 6 years, little Joe Evans running around. trying to, you know, swim underneath the move. Like Kevin said, you really were, your 6 years literally spanned from right now all the way up to when we left. And Kevin and I feel like from the year we left till now is it looks and feels from the outside vastly different. And obviously for you, it changed very slowly. A couple of those big changes or big things that happened were the whole Coach Doyle situation and COVID all in the same year.
Yeah.
Talk about that from the inside and how that just throws wrenches into the thing. And how did you evolve as a player? And sort of right in the middle of your career, yeah, 18, 19, yeah. So you were probably, you know, you had gotten some time on the field. So you as an individual probably were starting to feel more like a leader on the team. How did that evolve you and the team through some pretty serious?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we've had some very, you know, through my 6 years, we've had some very serious things happen. And even like you want to talk about the Coach Doyle situation, COVID, even playing up to this year when Brian got let go midway through the season and how we were going to, you know, battle through those things as a team. I think it just kind of all it all goes back to the leadership ability of Coach Ferentz and how he was able to lead everybody. And like those first two instances, I think we'd all just, I mean, all three, we came together as a team, which was very, I mean, from my standpoint, it was very powerful and just came together. We had, you know, talks, you know, some would say some uncomfortable talks and, you know, talks that we needed to have. So in all three cases. So I think, from my standpoint, I was able to grow a lot from all those and just being able to see how going through like adversity and, you know, like being a walk on, you know, you're battling adversity all the time, but going through adversity like that with your teammates just kind of makes you stronger as a whole. And like my last year here, I felt like the team in every year and I just felt like it kept growing and growing and how close we were together. I really believe that like we were insanely close this last year.
It was apparent from the outside, from the results that you were able to as a team continue to put out through the stuff you were going through.
And just everyone's comments in the media team too seemed like everyone is like a tight knit group and everyone's going to bat for each other. What do you think the reason was for that? Like, why was this 2023 team so much closer than the other ones that you were a part of?
At first it started out with just, I really like how, you know, like early in the year we had a player led meeting. So we kind of had like all of our goals and where we wanted to be. I think it kind of starts from the top with, you know, obviously Coach Ferentz and the coaches. And then a lot of it does have to do with the guys in the locker room. And when you all are just fighting for like that one goal, and that one goal is to, you know, win football games at any price, it's pretty powerful. I think we did a lot more like things together as a team, like outside of football, that made us a lot closer. Whether that, you know, Hawkeye Championship, just getting together, you know, going for a grill out, just doing things together that made us closer. And then, you know, talking about this year, battling through adversity together. When you battle through something together as a team and everyone has each other's back, it just, I mean, that's a tough team to beat.
How loud was the outside noise this year? Loud?
Yeah.
There's a smile. I feel it. I don't want to say anything. I don't say anything that you don't want to. But
no, I know. I'm going to be it.
But I mean, let's be honest. Like the Coach Brian stuff was looming heavy, and
yeah, it fired me up. It really pissed me off, and so I was I was fortunate enough to be voted the team captain by the guys, and led the pregame talks, and
love those videos. By the way, just got me going on Saturday.
I was in the middle of those talks. Was very fortunate enough to be voted the Iron Hawk, and just I had a voice in that locker room, and the whole Brian stuff. Why I say that, it really just fired me up. From my standpoint, it felt like they just gave up on us. When you fire a coach midway through the season, that's how it felt to us, is like, you guys just gave up on us. We're 6-2 right now, and we still have a shot at winning the Big Ten West Championship. And all credit to Brian. You didn't even in the facility, you wouldn't have even known he got fired. He came and worked his ass off every single day for us. And we kind of just, as a team, had that chip on our shoulder, like, all right, you know what? We're gonna prove everybody wrong. We're gonna go win these last four games, and we're gonna see you guys in Indy.
Kev, that hurt me a little bit when he said that.
Feels like they gave up on us, man. That's
some fans aren't gonna want to hear that one, because
they are not. But I mean, I totally relate. I mean, if I were in your shoes, I mean, shit, we caught a bunch of heat for not liking the way it went down and voicing that publicly. But yeah, if I was in your shoes, I'd be in very much fuck everyone else mode. And speaking of which,
maybe a little Leofi, huh? Love everyone.
We speculated what the acronym stood for. You don't have to confirm nor deny that if you don't want to.
There was a clear Michigan used us against the world, like Michigan against the world this year. Uh-huh. There's a little bit of that inside the Iowa locker room this year too, huh?
Yeah, we were just playing for everybody in that locker. Like it, yeah. That's why it was so like such a close knit group.
The wins looked awesome. Like every time they posted like the post game locker room after wins, it looked like y'all were just super excited.
And
for
we
each
didn't
other.
Like it. We it wasn't the prettiest. When is an Iowa game in like a pretty win? You know what I'm saying? It's rare. Just a hard fought. Just let's get after it. And a win is a win. And sometimes I think fans kind of lose sight of that. I mean, we're a 10-win team at the end of the year, and a lot of teams would like to be in our shoes. And obviously, like, our goal is always to win a national championship, win the Big Ten, win a national championship. And I'm not saying I'm sitting here settling for 10-2, because I'm pissed about that. I wish we could have won 12 games, but in our locker room it was, we're going to be playing for each other. And I think you were able to see that in every single game we played, like just a love for each other, and just literally doing anything and everything to win games.
I'm still floored for the simple answer that Joe gave on that has me shook right now. I'm a little hurt. I'm hurt. And I'm feeling my former player self. And I'm very curious to see the reactions we get from some of the listeners on this, because that is raw, and that, like, that's good shit, Joe. Like, that you summarized it in the most easy, simple way possible. Kev, what were you gonna say?
I was just gonna say, as an alum, man, it feels good to know that the culture of the locker room and The guys are in a good place together. And I say this pretty much to every guest that comes on from after our playing days and has something to say similar to you. But because that program did so much for me. I know it did so much for Kluve, but to know that it's still doing so much for the guys that are coming after us, just
yeah,
makes you feel good, man. I'm sure you'll feel the same way in a few years once your time is up in the facility. But I appreciate you for everything that you've done to keep moving the jersey to a better place.
Big time.
Yeah, I appreciate that, guys. Yeah. I mean, that was a big thing for me is, you know, leaving my jersey in a better place than it was. And, you know, I felt like at the end of my career here, I was able to do that. So, yeah, I appreciate that. That means a lot to me.
We've got some of these questions. I know a lot of them we've already hit a little bit, but we would be very, it'd be a horrible podcast, horrible host if we didn't ask one of the biggest questions, which is, what did it feel like to go back to Ames and play in Jack Trice? Live out that dream you talked about as a fifth grader.
Dude, both times we went. So when we went and played and it was 9-10 on college game day and really just went out there and just kicked their ass.
Oh, yeah.
That was just a phenomenal feeling. I loved being like the villain. So when I walked out to Jack Trice, it would have been my junior year.
Yeah.
And I'm walking out and I told myself, I'm not going to look at anybody. Okay. I'm just going to keep my, you know, head straight. I'm going to walk on the field. I know they're going to be talking a lot of shit, of course, to me, because I'm from Ames. And so I hear like 3-2-1, Joe. And I'm like, all right, these are definitely like my boys from Ames, like from Ames High School.
Were all your high school friends all like Iowa State friends?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so like my super close buddies actually ended up turning into Iowa fans because they just were rooting for me. But so I thought these were my high school buddies. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to turn around. I'm going to give them, you know, I'll look at them, give them a little wave. Never have seen these guys in my life. And I'm sorry. I've said a couple F-bombs on here, but this is what they said. You know, Joe, I looked like, fuck you. And I was.
How much electricity is in the veins at that point, though?
Oh, I mean.
Juiced.
I knew. I just amped up.
Oh.
I mean, I love that stuff. I love when opposing fans are, you know, talking smack. It's the competitor in you, right? It just fires you up. And when I played at Jack Trice, I never ever felt like I was tired out there. Like ever. Cause I always felt like there was, I don't know how many fans are in Jack Trice, let's say 60,000. Yeah. But like 60,000 people just wanted to see me do shitty.
I was
full gas tank. And so the first game I sacked Purdy and I ended up having a big tip, which I'm still upset to this day. I had the tip. I think Hankins picked it and I'm running down and I could have thrown like a last block at Brock Purdy, which still haunts me to this day. Because I think Hankins may have been able to sneak in there. But then when we played them this year, that was another reason, I'll be honest with you guys, is the reason why I came back. Is
another
we
opportunity
did
for Jack Trice. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm not going out.
That'd be hard one to swallow, man. We were down 14 in the fourth quarter our senior year, and I'm like, we are going to be the class to lose the Cyhawk. Because yeah. I think we had like a four in a row win streak at that point.
Oh, shit.
Maybe
no.
Three.
They beat us in 14. So we had won 15, 16.
Yeah. Okay. But I was like, there can be no worse feeling than losing to Iowa State your senior year.
Yeah. No. And so that was a reason I sat with my parents and would have these talks on whether I'd come back or not. And I don't know. I think either it was me or my dad brought that up. And he's like, well, you don't want to go out losing to Iowa State, do you? And I'm like, well played. Well played. Well played. And
okay,
if being able to come and play, you know, at Jack Trice my last year and go out being a captain. It was a really cool moment. The guys did this for me a couple times, actually. Well, they let me go get the trophy myself. There's a super cool picture.
I remember that, yeah.
So we swarmed over there, and they're like, Joe, go get the trophy. And that's a moment I'll never forget. They waited. They also waited for me for, like, the Big Ten West trophy, and they waited for me to go grab the trophy there. And just moments like that are the reason why I came back for my 6 years. Just moments with those boys that, you know, I'll never forget, and, you know, them voting me as a captain and as one of their leaders is just, yeah, that was the best feeling ever. But going into Jack Trice, getting that win, being able to – I'll be able to talk shit the rest of my life.
Quick side note, is Brock Purdy overrated?
I don't – he's – Brock Purdy is a really good dude. I don't think he's overrated. I'm happy for him. I'm not sure who I'm cheering for in the Super Bowl. I was really hoping it was going to be the Lions Ravens, to be honest.
Okay.
So obviously with Laporta, Campbell,
the Junior Hawks over there in Detroit. Yep.
Good old Lindy. Lindy was my lifting partner for 2 years. So
nice.
And I never got to play with Kittle. So, but an Iowa guy. So I'll be cheering for the 49ers just for Kittle.
The very own Brady Ross wants to know where the wooden lion ended up. Who has it?
Oh, yeah. The heart of the lion.
The what?
You don't know what we're talking about. So maybe it's been, maybe it's,
oh, no.
Maybe the tradition is lost.
Oh, no. Did Brady have it at one point?
Brady said, who ended up with the wooden lion? COVID shut everything down and I never re-entered the building. Never had a chance to pass it on.
So it was Brady's in 2020. So
Brady had it in 2020 and he never went in.
Oh, that son of a bitch.
So someone,
that's like a 15-year tradition right there.
So the tradition has been in purgatory.
What's the wooden lion?
Okay, oh, so my God. Who was it? Was it?
I don't know who started it.
Mitch King?
It sounds like Mitch King.
I'm actually meeting with Mitch King tomorrow, by the way.
We'll ask him about the heart of the line, all right? Yeah. He'll have a great story for you. It was been this passed down from – it's like the player's Iron Hawk almost.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it's just this freaking wood lion that someone got from some, like, thrift shop or something. And everyone has, like, who's had it has, like, carved their number into it. And – person who had it, like, their senior year, passes it down to who they think deserves it next.
Odds are you would have had it.
Yeah, well, I never saw it.
Wow.
I
didn't even know that. So that is an update in the
that's a tough one to know. That might have just ruined my Sunday night.
Well, you know, maybe we rejumped it. We might have just kicked.
You may have rejumped it. Maybe I'll be able to.
Good question, Brady.
Yeah, great question. I'll figure that out.
So that's all for me. I'm good. Grant here always has one or two great questions to ask. So Grant, if you'd like to ask those now, go ahead.
Oh yeah. So ask Jack Campbell this too, because he was a big basketball guy in high school as well.
Yeah.
If you went out there right now for Iowa, what's your stat line? Like, assuming you know the sets and stuff, what's your stat line?
What's my stat line?
Yeah.
Freaking 0-0-0.
You don't even think you can mistakenly make 1 point?
Well, I mean,
you just chuck up a three.
Can I shoot every single time I touch the ball?
You sure. Can do whatever you want. It's a hypothetical.
I can do whatever I want. Yeah. Well, I'm sure I'm getting a three in there. I can't really. I had double labrum surgery.
Oh shoot.
Yeah. Tough one. Tough pill to swallow there.
Not
but
surprising though, you know?
Not surprising. No. I mean, I can get up there. Maybe a little fast break dunk if I just kind of cherry pick a little bit.
Okay. You're still dunking right now? What are we at? 250, 260?
This is going to surprise you guys, but I have the vertical record at defensive end.
Which doesn't surprise me.
I'll give you guys – what do you guys think?
30.
That's going to be upper 30s, right?
Yeah, I was going to say 38.
Yeah, probably I'd ballpark it around there, yeah.
I jumped to a 41.
Fuck me.
Oh!
Well, a jump. It's a jump map.
I mean, those things are still pretty
good. On.
Yeah.
Still 40.
I may have been tucking the knees a little bit.
I tried to never tuck.
I mean, my PR on a jump mat is also my PR on the
same 34 for me.
Whatever you call it, slap thingies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if I go to pro day, you know, I jumped a 41 at Iowa. If I jump like a 36 or something, you guys are know my knees were tucked.
Okay.
All right.
But yeah. No. Yeah. So I can't do anything crazy. I can do, like so a back
like windmills or anything that we.
I don't have the longest of arms.
Anything else, Grant?
I saw another thing too, where you're talking like Lakers, the LeBron fan. Do you think the bubble does that count or is that Mickey Mouse?
Come on.
I just want to know.
Are you kidding me?
I just want to know.
Are you a Mickey Mouse guy?
Am I a fan of Mickey Mouse or am
no,
I?
No, I'm Do you think it doesn't count?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's the most legit.
It's a ridiculous take because everyone was doing the same thing.
True. Everyone had the same,
you know what I'm saying? Like everyone was playing in Orlando.
Yeah.
Like that, I mean, that's my view of it. I mean, everyone's circumstances were the same. I don't know why it wouldn't count as an NBA championship.
LeBron James. Ho-ho.
Oh.
I mean, I am a huge LeBron fan.
Yeah.
I think he's the GOAT, but
yeah. Well, I mean, I was gonna ask you who do you think the GOAT is, MJ or Kobe, but I didn't think that would
I just read Mama Mentality, actually.
And then
we gotta talk about Bill Russell more often.
I think so.
Bill Russell, true. That's KF's GOAT right there.
True facts.
Bill Russell?
Yeah.
Bill Russell.
I could just hear KF now. You know, this guy Bill Russell.
Rings.
Oh shit.
11 rings. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. You got a lot of titles.
That's team meetings. That still gets brought up.
Guaranteed.
And then last one for you, though, Joe. You got a lot of great teammates you played with over your career. Where does receiver Jonas Strawhacker rank in your best teammates of all time?
Whoa. Do you know Jonah?
Yeah, he's one of my friends. I told him on Saturday. I was like, hey, we're talking to Joe Evans. If I bring up your name, it's like one of your best teammates he's ever had. Is he going to know? He's like, yeah. I was nervous. You're just going to be like, I don't know who that is.
No. Me and Jonah definitely would have played basketball. I don't know if he – I think he played football with me my last year.
Okay.
I believe. But, no, he was – I love that kid. I love when I see him around Iowa City.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll rank him up there. One of my best teammates.
One of the best teammates of all time. Okay.
Cool. Love it.
I'll make sure I'll send that to him.
Yeah. Make sure you tell him that.
Yeah.
All right. So, Kevin, anything else for?
Yeah, man. You got to spend 6 years in the building. Before you leave, you got to give us a KF impression.
Mm. KF ordering a pizza.
I'll give you one
of his. I'll probably butch. I mean, I don't know if I'll be able to sound like him, but. You know, your classic, you know, I don't know shit about shit, but what I do know is, and then just fucking goes on a little tyrant.
Does he ever still bring like articles into the meeting rooms? Like, you guys see us now? You guys don't read articles?
Dude, yeah. He would bring the paper in, dude.
Oh, we still get those handed out to us.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Love it. Absolutely
love it.
Yeah. Well, Joe, that's 85 minutes that the people are absolutely going to love. We appreciate you coming on. We might have to have you back on because we didn't get to talk much about draft prep and stuff, but we could talk all about that when you're starting for an NFL team next year.
All right, let's hope so, right?
Future Bronco. Yeah.
That'd be sick.
Hard to kill a sewer rat.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, yeah, freaking that was probably one of – I didn't even get to mention this, but good old Josie Jewell. Probably one of my favorite Hawks of all time. Never got to meet him, but
he's average. You're not missing much.
Yeah. I know he comes on the show quite a bit, but
he's we definitely won't tell him that.
No.
He'll probably
listen to it though.
He will probably listen to it.
I'm pretty sure he listens to our podcast just to know when we talk shit about him.
100%.
That's the 100%. Only reason he listens.
100%.
Maybe you can like throw that in the old podcast, like, hey, Josie, if you're listening, you know, hour 25 mark.
I guarantee he's going to hit us up about it. He's listening. So we've already talked about him too much. His ego is growing. Thank you to everybody for listening. First player pod of the new year. Excited to do more of this. I'm going to have to just get on Joe's ass about giving me all of his teammates' phone numbers. Just randomly.
Well, shit, they're all coming back for an extra year.
True.
They're only how many guys are actually graduating this year?
Not many.
10?
Yeah, not many.
Nope. Joe's looking for a 7th year, I think.
That was the big joke. Yep.
Of course.
Joe, you find your 7th year yet? I wish I did.
Yep.
Would have came back.
Gave a 9th to the guy in the Miami.
It's true.
I know.
Thank you. Listeners, thank you. We'll be back again on Thursday with another episode. Until then, peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.